as if something was under there. My eyes went wide. Was there something under the desk? I looked on the floor, but my high-topped red sneakers were the only things there. What if? While keeping an eye on Mr. Ortega, I ran my hand along the bottom of the desk, disgusted when it met a lump of what I assumed was chewed-up gum. Gross. Still, I let my pencil roll off my desk and land on the ground. I used my sneaker to slide the pencil back toward me, then ducked down to retrieve it. While leaning down, I craned my neck around. Sure enough, wedged under the strip of metal that ran between the desk legs was a piece of paper folded into fourths. I quickly grabbed my pencil and the paper, then sat back up, the blood rushing back down my face. As quietly as possible, I unfolded the paper and smoothed it flat. It was as if this was the most normal thing in the world, like this person and I exchanged notes all the time. So, did you listen to The Crooked Brooks? What did you think? Maybe it was too dark for you. It is kind of a depressing band, but I thought if you liked Blackout, you might like them. Sometimes listening to depressing songs makes me feel like my life isn't so bad. Reverse psychology or something, ha. Well, hopefully this note distracted you for at least 1 minute. Writing back will take another couple. Then you'll only have an eternity to sit through. Sorry. I laughed quietly. So my pen pal liked Blackout and hated chemistry. We were kindred spirits. I turned the paper over, trying to decide what to write back. This would be my third message to her, I realized. I'd started a cute tradition with a total stranger completely unknowingly. It felt a little like cheating. No, this wasn't cheating. I'd already told Isabel about it. And this wasn't even a real friendship. It was a distraction. Besides, Isabel had other friends. I could have an anonymous pen pal. Anonymous friends were perfect for me. I haven't had a chance to listen to The Crooked Brooks. Life at home is a bit chaotic. I will the first chance I get. I'm all for music that makes my life seem better. And you're right, Blackout is depressing. But they're not only depressing. Track 8 on their Blue album, for example, I've never felt more alive than when listening to that song. It makes me feel like I'm flying, soaring above my life and looking down on it. Being above it for a while makes it easier to live when I'm back in the middle of it, if that makes any sense at all. Anyway, I better get back to the mind-numbing boredom. For a moment, I couldn't believe I had written that to a total stranger. I even considered not folding the paper back up and putting it under the desk, but two things made me do it. One, when talking about music, I always found myself opening up more than I might have otherwise. People who appreciated music like I did seemed to understand that. I sensed my pen pal would. Two, anonymity was freeing. I could say a lot when I didn't have to sign my name at the end. And I didn't. I stuffed the note back into place under the desk and got to work on a few chemistry notes that I was still required to show Mr. Ortega at the end of each period. I must have still felt a little guilty about the letter exchange, because at lunch I blurted out to Isabel, "She wrote me a letter." Isabel, known for her drastic subject changes, didn't follow mine. "What?" We were walking back from the food trucks with our burritos and sodas. Isabel loved getting fake Mexican food, as she called it, even though her dad made the best real Mexican food on earth. Maybe it was her form of teenage rebellion. "Remember I told you about riding back and forth with that girl in chemistry?" I began, as we started toward the outdoor student commons. "The one who likes the same band as me?" "Yes," Isabel said. "I thought it was a guy." "No, she wrote something about wanting to be Lissa Prim when she grows up."
"Who's Lissa Prim?"
"The lead singer of Blackout."
"Aw, how cute! You found a new weird pen pal. The two of you are like the same person."
She hip-checked me. "Two of me? Our school couldn't handle that."
"So true."
But anyway, she left me a longer letter under the desk this time, and I wrote back. Isabel let out a hum.
"Who do you think she is?"
"I don't know." "Aren't you curious? Maybe it's someone you already know. It's obviously someone you'd get along with." She scanned the commons. Students were clustered in groups, divided by grade, eating and laughing and throwing balled-up napkins at each other. I spotted Lucas sitting with his friends and tried not to stare.
especially since I got caught by Isabel last time. We should find out. No. I knew it was silly to feel insecure about what others thought of me, but I couldn't help it. I was worried if this girl found out who I was, she wouldn't find me cool enough for her. Besides that, I'd already decided that anonymity made writing so much easier, and this letter exchange was my sanity in chemistry. It's just a fun distraction. I really don't want to know. Isabel shrugged. Okay, fine. If it were me, my curiosity wouldn't be able to leave it alone. And I wondered if her curiosity would be able to leave it alone, even though it wasn't her. I gave her my best, we are not pursuing this, look, and let it go. No anniversary lunches today, right? I asked. She smiled. Yes, it's our 2-month and 5-day anniversary. You understand, right? We settled into our spot under a tree. I hadn't picked this spot because it had the best view of Lucas. That was just a happy coincidence. My eyes scanned the commons again. Maybe my letter writer was someone I already knew. But who? Chapter 9. I scribbled in my notebook as the crooked Brooks blasted through my headphones. I couldn't wait to write to my chemistry friend the next day and tell her how awesome this music was. The song was raw and unapologetic and oh so depressing. But for whatever reason, it had inspired me. A song about secrets was twisting its way through my head and out of my pen. If I tell you my secrets, will you just tell me lies? If I say I believe you, does that make it all right? It's hard to place my trust in someone new, but that doesn't mean... A tapping on my back interrupted my thought. I looked over to see my brother Jonas standing by my bed. I clicked off the music. Hey, Thing Two, what's up? Will you read me a story? He was already holding the book. You can read. I like it when you read. My notebook was begging me to continue, pleading with me as it sat there on my pillow. Sure, buddy, I said. Come on up. I shut my notebook and Jonah climbed onto my bed with a smile. He handed me the first Harry Potter. And do the voices, too. So demanding. I had been reading for 20 minutes when Jonah's attention wavered. His finger tapped the perfectly cut out newspaper article about the songwriting competition I had pinned to my wall. What's that? That's just me dreaming, like always. Dreaming is fun, Jonah said. I dreamed about dinosaurs last night. What did you dream about? My eyes darted to the notebook I had abandoned on my pillow, then back to my brother. I dreamed about a little prince named Jonah, who had 3 older siblings who always gave him whatever he wanted because he was the most spoiled prince in all the land. Jonah stuck out his lower lip. I am not. I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about Prince Jonah from my dream. Do you think everyone is talking about you all the time? Yes. I tickled him. Good night, Prince Jonah. I thought I was Thing Too. Only when you make messes. I gently pushed him off my bed with my feet. Speaking of messes, how is that rabbit of yours? Mom won't let him sleep in my bed. Mom makes good decisions sometimes. Have you given him a name? Bugs Rabbit. You mean Bugs Bunny? He scrunched his lips together. We call him Bugs Rabbit. Really? But then how are you going to remember it? It's easy. His name is Bugs, and he's a rabbit. Does nobody in the world use alliteration anymore? What? Nothing. Will you take us trick-or-treating Friday? That's right. Friday is Halloween. Jonah put his little fists on his hips. Did you forget... No, but I'm too old for trick-or-treating, so Halloween isn't such a big deal anymore. I'm never going to get too old for trick-or-treating. I ruffled his hair. Yes, of course I can take you. In exchange for a piece of candy. Jonah gave a yelp of joy as he ran out of my room. One of the good ones! I called after him. I opened my notebook back up to the lyrics I'd been writing, but it was too late. The inspiration was gone. If I tried to write a song right now, it'd be about rabbits, dinosaurs, and Halloween candy. Almost as good as Monsters in Trees. I'd have to try again later.
Monsters in trees, I said to Isabel the next morning when I saw her by our lockers.
What?
That's what I thought about before going to bed last night. Are we doing this or not? She clapped her hands, then bit her lip in thought. I laughed. Gabriel, right?
Shh. There was something after that. I'm trying to remember. Oh, Nutella crepes.
Now I'm hungry.
And I'm confused, Isabel said, shutting her locker.
Monsters in trees? Fake song idea. But I actually started a real song, one I'll read to you when I'm done.
I'd like that.
This is going to be a fun tradition. She laughed.
It is. I feel our friendship getting cuter already.
I may have started the morning tradition with Isabel because I felt guilty about how excited I was to read this letter. The letter that I had retrieved from beneath my desk in chemistry and was now unfolded on top of my desk. Track 8 on Blackout's Blue album? I haven't listened to that one yet. I only have their first album. And even though it goes against my reverse psychology theory of how I handle life, if you think it's good, I'll try it out. Any other bands I should add to my Shutting Out the World playlist? I could use some of that to deal with my life right now. Does that make me sound pathetic? I'm not, most of the time. I'm actually a pretty fun guy when not at home.
Guy? I blinked.
My pen pal was a he? My eyes went back to the notes written on the desk, to the line that had made me think he was a girl. It was still there. His claim that he had dibs on wanting to be Lissa when he grew up. So it had been a joke? He liked to joke. He was a guy. A guy who liked the same music as me and was bored in chemistry and had a sense of humor. We were soulmates. I smiled a little, then shook my head. The guy was bored and was writing me letters to pass time. He wasn't asking me out or anything. I realized my brain had stopped mid-letter. I read the rest. So what should we chat about that's not so depressing? I'm open to suggestions. Perhaps one of the following topics. Death, cancer, global warming, or is it climate change now? Animal cruelty. I turned over the page, but that was the end. We filled up an entire page with our back-and-forth communication, which meant I got to keep this page. I folded it nicely and stuck it in my bag. I stared at the new, clean sheet in front of me, and then wrote, "How about we discuss the fact that you're a guy? Let's get married and have cute indie rock babies." I bit the inside of my cheek to keep from laughing and dropped that sheet of paper in my backpack by my feet. I wasn't even going to mention the fact that he was a he. I was going to pretend I knew all along, because it changed nothing. I finally got a chance in the chaos that is my house to listen to The Crooked Brooks. Brilliant. Track 4. I must have listened to that one 5 times in a row. I wasn't sure I could trust your taste in music before, but you have now proven yourself. I will listen to anything you suggest. I'll include a list of my favorites at the bottom of this page. Do you play any instruments? I'm a self-taught, not very good, but thinks she is guitarist. Okay, you've convinced me. We can start a band together. Unless you play the guitar too. Sorry, but I won't fight you for solo time. I reread what I wrote 3 times. It was me, but I wasn't sure I should be me. I didn't have the best track record with guys, but at least on paper he could read it in a smooth, confident voice, not in the way I would have delivered it in person, awkwardly. It didn't matter. Why was I suddenly worried about how he would perceive me? I wished I hadn't found out he was a guy. This had been fun until I learned that piece of information. I had actually been looking forward to chemistry for the last week, something that had never happened before. And I would continue to look forward to it. We still had anonymity on our side. Chapter 10. I opened another drawer of my dresser and flung several shirts onto my bed. Where is it? I wondered in frustration. I was the organized one in this room. I didn't misplace my favorite shirt, especially when I saved it specifically for nights like tonight, nights where I'd be hanging out with Isabel, her boyfriend, and a bunch of his friends I didn't know. I pulled the dirty laundry basket out of my closet and dumped it on the floor, then sifted through the pile of clothes. When I came up empty, I let out a growl. That's when I spotted my sister's laundry basket on the other side of the closet. I stormed over to it and after shifting a few clothes, found my favorite green shirt. I held it up. It was wrinkled and had a big dark stain on the right side. Ashley! Anger made my eyes hot. I tore out of the room, taking my shirt and my anger with me. Ashley was sitting on the couch eating a bowl of ice cream. Her eyes went wide when she saw me.
What?
This. I held the shirt for her to see.
I was going to wash it.
Why were you wearing it? You didn't even ask. It probably doesn't even fit you right anyway. Ashley was much taller than me. She made a face.
You weren't home to ask.
Ashley, seriously.
Fine, chill, I'll ask next time.
At this point, Mom walked in.
What's going on, girls?
Nothing. I started to walk away. There was nothing I could do about the shirt now. I was meeting Isabel in an hour. I'd have to find something else to wear.
Where are you going? Mom asked.
She must have noted my hair, which I had managed to tame into relative smoothness tonight.
To finish getting ready, I said.
Ready for what? Just then, Jonah came bouncing over, wearing a blue and red dinosaur costume.
Let's go, let's go, let's go!
He yelled, louder than necessary. My mom put her hand on his shoulder and he stopped bouncing. She continued to look at me, waiting for an answer.
I'm going out with Isabel, I said.
You didn't tell me that, Mom said. I panicked, my mind rewinding through the week to try to pick out the conversation I could have sworn I had with my mom so I could reference it now. It didn't exist.
You said you'd take us trick-or-treating,
Jonah whined. Ashley can take you, I said. My sister shook her head. Nope, I'm going to a Halloween party tonight.
Can't Mom take you? I asked Jonah, desperate now because I knew how he got when he had his mind set on something.
Mom gave me her disappointed look, but to Jonah said, Yes, I'll take you. The dinosaur head tipped forward as he looked at the ground in a pout. It was a really pathetic sight. As I clung to my stained shirt, I knew neither it nor I would be going out tonight. I sighed. Oh, well. It was going to be a group date that I would have to spend my last $20 on anyway. Might as well save the money for something I really wanted to do.
I'll take you, Jonah.
Jonah cheered.
Thank you, Lily, Mom said, giving me a quick hug. Tomorrow night is all yours.
Sounds good. I shuffled back to my room and called Isabel. She answered on the second ring.
You better not be canceling on me.
I'm sorry. I promised Jonah I'd take him trick-or-treating.
What do you mean? We've been planning this all week. Why can't Ashley take him?
She's going to a party. I took my shirt to the bathroom where I treated the stain with an old toothbrush and soap.
Lily,
Isabel whined, sounding an awful lot like Jonah.
You promised.
I turned off the sink.
I know,
but unfortunately, my family has reigning power over my life.
Didn't you ask your mom about tonight earlier?
I thought I had, but I guess I didn't. She sighed.
Fine. I'll talk to you later.
She hung up before waiting for me to say goodbye. I felt bad, but she had Gabriel. She'd be fine without me. I glanced at my hair in the mirror. My waves were softer, straighter tonight. When I put in the effort with a blow dryer and a little bit of product, I could accomplish this look. I rarely did.
How come you can't look this good when I actually end up going out?
Stop talking to yourself, Ashley sang out as she walked by the bathroom.
I was on the phone,
I called after her. Then I gathered my hair into a ponytail and left to grab my hoodie. Chapter 11. When Isabel said she'd talk to me later, I hadn't thought she meant that night, on my porch, with two guys flanking her. After taking my brothers trick-or-treating, I had changed into a pair of flannel pajama pants and a tee. I sat on the sofa with a large bowl of candy in my lap, in case any trick-or-treaters stopped by. But when I answered the doorbell, I didn't find costumed kids out there. I clutched the candy bowl as I stared at Isabel, my mouth doing the fish thing it sometimes did when words wouldn't come out.
Hey,
Isabel said, ignoring my expression. She adjusted the pair of cat ears on her head.
Trick-or-treat! Can we come in?
She plucked a roll of Smarties out of the bowl I held and pushed past me, dragging Gabriel by one arm and the other guy,
whose floppy hair and lanky frame looked vaguely familiar, by the other.
Sure, come in,
I said lamely, setting the candy bowl on the entry table. They all slipped off their shoes at the edge of the tiled entryway.
Oh, you don't have to take your shoes off. Our carpet is a mess anyway.
I shut the door. They left their shoes off.
Okay, let me just, put some jeans on.
My brothers, who had heard the doorbell, came running out of the TV room, holding the bowl of popcorn I had made them. It was leaving a white trail behind them as it spilled over the sides.
Go watch your movie, things. I'll be right back.
I rushed into the bathroom where I ran my fingers through my now crazy waves in hopes of flattening them and applied some gloss. Then I headed into my room where I threw on a pair of jeans and the first decent top I could get my hands on. It was pale mustard with little birds on it. By the time I got back in the living room, Isabel and the guys were sitting on the couch next to several piles of folded clothes, and my brothers had somehow managed to get the rabbit out of its cage and let it loose on the floor. It was hopping around, sniffing at the trail of popcorn.
When did you get a rabbit? Isabel asked me.
I had questions for her, too, like, what was she doing here? Why didn't she give me any warning?
Last week, I think.
I stacked the clothes and plopped them into the laundry basket on the floor.
Hi, I'm Lily, I said to the stranger in the room before it became too late for introductions.
I'm David, he said. We were in math together last year.
I looked at him again, closer, in this new context. Of course I knew him. We had math together sophomore year. My brain hadn't registered that when I thought he was Gabriel's friend.
You go to Morris High.
I said it like an accusation, and it was. But it was meant for Isabel, not David. I shot her a look. She just smirked and shrugged. So this had been a setup after all. She'd set me up with a guy from school. No wonder she was so mad when I canceled.
Yes,
David said, frowning at me. Sorry, I just thought you were a friend of Gabriel's. The rabbit bounced around a spilled bin of Legos and over Isabel's foot. She yelped and pulled both feet on the couch before saying, He is a friend of Gabriel's, but he also just happens to go to our school. I shoveled the Legos back into the bin and righted it. The rabbit scampered to David and sniffed at the hem of his jeans.
Things, go finish watching your movie. But first, put the rabbit back in its home before it has time to cast an evil spell.
He's not evil, Wyatt said.
Ah, see, he already has you hypnotized. The rest of us would like to keep our senses.
I realized I was being stupid. I needed to shut up. But when I was nervous, I tended to let all my odd thoughts come out my mouth. Well, actually, most of the time I let that happen, but especially when I was nervous. Jonah picked the rabbit up around its middle, its feet kicking wildly for a moment before they stilled, and the boys left the room.
Your mom got them a rabbit? Isabel said, staring after my brothers.
Yeah, you know my mom. I guess she saw someone selling it on the side of the road and was worried it was on its way to a crock pot.
Or a roaster, or maybe a spit. How are rabbits prepared anyway? Everyone was silent.
Where is your mom? Isabel finally said.
When I said I'd stay home, she and my dad decided to go to some friend's Halloween party or something.
I ran my hand through my messy hair and plopped down on the couch beside Isabel.
Did they dress up?
Surprisingly, no, unless their costume was just weird parents. The doorbell rang and I went to answer it, this time dropping a handful of candy into the bags of excited little ninjas. When I sat back down next to Isabel, I said, So, was there a plan or you just decided to come say hi?
Isabel turned to me, her dark eyes bright.
We decided to come say hi and introduce you to David. He is in the band at school.
This was supposed to be our common bond. I could tell by Isabel's proud smile.
Oh, cool. What instrument do you play?
David pushed his floppy brown hair off his forehead. Considering how thin he was, he had a baby face, round cheeks and a wide nose.
The clarinet.
Like the King of Swing?
What?
You know, Benny Goodman. Isn't he proof that clarinets can actually make it somewhere?
The words were out before I realized how offensive they sounded. I'm sorry, that was rude.
There are lots of great outlets for the clarinet. Marching bands, orchestras.
Now I just sounded patronizing.
Lily plays the guitar, Isabel said.
I try.
Was it too late not to let them in my house?
Do you guys want something to drink?
Sure,
Gabriel said. Isabel, help me in the kitchen. She followed me in, and when I was sure the guys couldn't hear, I whispered, Why would you do this to me? Isabel sighed. I thought that if you didn't know you were going on a date tonight, you wouldn't have time to stress. That you wouldn't practice lines in your mind and imagine outcomes. You thought my awkwardness was from preconceived plans to be awkward?
Yes, actually.
I laughed. Well, now you know the truth. She laughed too. I guess I do. But come on, isn't David adorable? And it's not like he's super smooth. You guys fit well. I rolled my eyes. Give him a chance. I grabbed some cups down from the cupboard and scooped ice from the freezer into them. Why not? I'm sorry I didn't warn you. I really, really thought it would be better this way. I knew her intentions were in the right place. It's fine. Here, take these two drinks. Let me check on my brothers. I'll be there in a minute. I opened the door to the TV room. Wyatt and Jonah were sitting on the couch, the rabbit between them. Hey, I told you to put the rabbit away, I said. He's going to pee and Mom won't be happy.
He's watching this show. It's his favorite. When it's over, Wyatt said.
I smiled. You two are strange. And I loved it. As soon as it's over, not one second later.
Okay,
they both sang out. I went back to the kitchen and filled the remaining two cups with water. Okay, self, you can hold a normal conversation with a group of people without looking stupid. There, that was a good pep talk. Back in the living room, Isabel had retrieved my guitar from my room and was strumming made-up chords.
Oh, Lily, come here. Sit down, she said. I was just telling the guys you would play for them.
I froze in the doorway, cups in hands. Not only because I wanted to rush in and take my baby from her and tuck it back in its protective case, I did let Isabel touch my guitar. I trusted her, but I did not want to play. At all. It was hard enough talking to new people, but playing, that was a different level. I taught myself the guitar so I could write songs, songs other people would play. I was not a performer. Isabel met my eyes, and I could tell she instantly knew my thoughts.
Never mind, I'll keep playing, she quickly said.
Oh, come on. Isabel's been bragging about you for months now, Lily,
Gabriel said.
Let's hear it.
The cups in my hands were slipping. I put them on an end table and wiped my hands on my jeans.
You don't have to,
David said, and I gave him a thankful smile. Isabel stood. I'll go put it away. I got it. I reached out and took my guitar from her. After securing it in its case and stashing it under my bed, I joined the others again. Isabel was sitting on the floor now, looking repentant. I gave her a smile so she knew I wasn't mad, and sat down next to her.
Sorry, she said under her breath. It's okay.
Isabel dug her hands into the bin of Legos next to her. We should have a shipbuilding competition.
Yes, Gabriel said. I am the king of Legos.
Is that a self-proclaimed title or one that was appointed? I asked. Isabel laughed. Gabriel acted offended.
Appointed, of course.
He joined us on the floor and scooped out a handful of Legos.
By my father.
As I was about to respond that fathers are not fair judges, Wyatt ran into the room, holding something up. Jonah came in after him, crying, blood dripping down his chin. Oh, no.
I got it out,
Wyatt announced. It took me a second to see he was holding a tooth, and another second to realize it was Jonah's. Jonah shoved him in the back.
I wanted to get it out.
I jumped up and slung my arm around Jonah's shoulder. Whoa, vampire, you need to rinse out your mouth after feeding. He laughed through his cry, but no one else was laughing. They looked horrified. He had a loose tooth, I quickly clarified. Wyatt, next time, leave his teeth alone.
He was being a chicken. Mom said if he didn't get it out, he was going to swallow it in his sleep.
Just then the rabbit came hopping into the room. It went directly to David and proceeded to pee all over his socked foot. I wasn't sure if it was out of reflex or disgust, but David's foot flung forward, kicking the rabbit a good 3 or 4 feet across the room. Jonah gasped.
You hurt him, meanie,
he cried. More blood oozed out of his mouth and dribbled down his chin with the exclamation. I might have felt the need to apologize for my brother, but I kind of agreed with him. Who kicked a rabbit?
Wyatt, take care of the rabbit, I said, then directed Jonah into the bathroom down the hall to help him clean up his face.
Is Bug's rabbit going to be okay?
Jonah asked. He's fine. He has a lot of fur. It protects him.
You said you'd watch the movie with us, Lily, and now you're playing with your friends.
I know, kid. I'll send them on their way. But I didn't have to. After I'd finished helping Jonah and went out to the living room, they were all standing by the open door. Isabel was handing out candy to some trick-or-treaters, but Gabriel and David were putting shoes on. When Isabel shut the door, she twisted her bracelet back and forth on her wrist.
We need to get going.
David wouldn't meet my eyes, and seemed like he couldn't get out quick enough. He was holding his right shoe and walking on his tiptoes out the door.
Well, when you get your special rabbit powers, give me a call, I said.
He tried to laugh, but it came out more like a nervous cough.
Sorry,
Isabel mouthed. I shrugged. I didn't blame her. My family was very overwhelming, and only half of us were here. And besides, I didn't care. I was pretty sure David didn't even know who Benny Goodman was, and for a clarinetist, that was a sin, as far as I was concerned. David was somebody Isabel had picked out for her quest, and he only further proved my point that said quest was impossible.
Chapter 12.
Has anyone seen my blue-handled pliers? My mom called out to the house in general. When six people lived under one roof, it was often the quickest form of communication. It didn't necessarily produce results, but it was the fastest.
Anybody?
No, came the reply from Wyatt. My mom poked her head in my room. I was sitting on my bed, in my pajamas, still contemplating whether I wanted to get up or not.
I haven't seen them, I told her with a yawn. You want to come with me today?
About once a month, my mom went to different outdoor craft fairs or flea markets where she sold her creations.
How far away? I asked. This one's in town, the Fall Fest. You'd make 20%.
That was her draw for us to go help. 20% of the profits. It seems like a good deal, unless she only earned $50, which wasn't unheard of. Then our take for an entire day's work was $10. But sometimes she'd earn $300, and I could walk away with $60 in my pocket. It was a gamble. One I was willing to take because I didn't only go for the money incentive. I went for the people watching. People watching inspired me, and I could use some inspiration. Ever since scribbling down a couple of great lines while listening to the Crooked Brooks the other night, I couldn't conjure up any more good ideas. The newspaper clipping taunted me from the wall next to my bed. It reminded me that I had less than 2 months to write an entire song. Music, lyrics, everything. And I'd barely completed a few lines.
Yeah, I'll go, I said, finally getting up. Mom nodded. We leave in 30 minutes.
The kettle corn cart was closer to our booth than normal, and the sweet smell in the air almost made up for what I'd discovered upon arriving at the Fall Fest. In the booth right next to ours was Cade Jennings. His father owned a very successful insurance company, and they were giving out quotes today, right in the middle of all the craft booths. I scowled. Wasn't there a different section for that kind of thing? My mom was unloading her trays onto the table, and I was trying to think of any excuse to leave this booth. Should I go get us drinks? I asked.
I brought some water bottles.
She pointed to a bag under the table.
Snacks? Are you hungry already?
It was 9 in the morning, and we'd eaten breakfast before we left. It was a valid question.
No, I guess not. There's another case of rings below. Why don't you put them out?
Okay. I pulled up the tablecloth and slid out the boxes. How come we aren't selling any of Dad's pieces today? I meant his furniture pieces. Dad's furniture was really nice, even nicer than the necklaces he made that he tried to pretend were better than Mom's.
He's working on a contracted job, some kitchen cabinets for a house up in Scottsdale.
Oh, that's good. Contracted jobs were steadier pay and better money. I glanced to our right. Cade hadn't seen me yet. Or at least I assumed he hadn't, by the lack of rude comments. He was unloading some sort of flyers into a plastic stand. I'd never seen him dressed up before. He was wearing slacks, a button-down, and even had a tie on.
I felt more shabby than normal in my homemade short floral skirt and denim vest. I would not try to hide half my outfit by sitting down, even though I was very tempted to do just that. I did not care what Cade thought of me. A man who looked nothing like Cade walked up to the front of his booth holding two lidded cups. He handed one to Cade. Maybe Cade took after his mother, or this man was his father's business partner. He mumbled something to Cade, who then dumped the flyers he had just arranged out onto the table and refilled the plastic stand with different ones. My mom began discussing the potential crowd today with a lady to our left. Cade met my eyes then. Like he knew I'd been staring all along, and a slow smile spread over his lips.
"Are you taking notes?"
he asked me.
"This is what success looks like."
His eyes swept over the jewelry on my table, pausing on the tray with all the feathered necklaces. He raised his eyebrows.
"You'll probably need more than notes."
I pretended to write on a pad of paper. First step, dress like a 40-year-old man. Second step, treat people badly. Third, act like the world revolves around me. Did I miss any? Cade smirked.
"Actually, you missed quite a few. Don't pretend like you know everything. Don't write and walk at the same time. And think about other people every once in a while."
What? Me think about other people? What's that supposed to mean?
No hidden meaning there.
I narrowed my eyes, about to say something I probably shouldn't have, when my mom placed a hand on my shoulder.
"Do you go to school with that boy?"
she asked me. "How fun." Then, much to my horror, she called out, "Hi, nice to meet you." Cade brought out a smile that might have looked sincere to my mom, but actually was completely mocking her.
"Hi, booth neighbor,"
he said. And my mom laughed, like that was some super witty line.
"What a cutie,"
my mom said under her breath.
"Do you know my daughter?"
This she said at a volume he could hear. I cringed. Cade met my eyes, and a playful sparkle lit his up.
"I do. We go to school together."
"That's great. If it's slow today, you two won't be so bored now."
"Lily definitely keeps things interesting,"
Cade said.
"We feel the same way,"
my mom said, as if he hadn't just insulted me. Today was going to be awful. The day wasn't going as badly as I originally anticipated. Cade minded his own business, and I did mine. And now he wasn't even in his booth. He'd left about an hour ago and hadn't returned. Maybe Isabel was right. Maybe I did start things more often than I realized. A woman with a coin purse and several stripes of colored hair stood at our booth, checking the circle price tags on each item and then counting her change. Every time she'd come up short, then move on to the next item. There had to be a song in this situation somewhere. If a penny can bring luck, and a dime can grant a wish, how come my 11 cents hasn't bought me what I need? I chuckled at the lame lyrics.
"What's so funny?" my mom asked.
"Oh, nothing."
"You ready for a lunch break?"
"Sure." She handed me a 10.
"I want one of those big veggie burritos."
"Okay, I'll be back." I weaved my way through the crowd as I headed toward the food trucks at the end of the street. I had been standing in line for a few minutes when I saw Cade sitting off to the right at a long plastic table with one of his friends, Mike, from school. They were stone's throw away. And even though I wasn't trying to listen, I could hear their voices perfectly.
"Do you think Coach expects us to be at every club practice plus the games?" Mike was saying.
"Yeah,"
Cade answered.
"At least you don't have mornings here and afternoons there."
"True. How many more of these do you have to work?"
Mike asked.
"As many as the company decides to do," Cade answered.
"It's not too bad. This is a good place to meet new girls, unlike club baseball."
"Really? Have you noticed the average age of the buyers here? Not really my age bracket."
"I noticed that one chick from school in the booth next to yours. You know, what's her name? Lily. That could be interesting. She's weird, but cute."
I tensed up.
"Lily Abbott?" Cade said. "You think Lily Abbott is cute?"
"You don't?"
"No."
"Then maybe I'll go talk to her."
"Believe me, avoid her at all costs. She's not worth your time at all. She's a..."
Before I could hear how Cade ended that delightful sentence, the person standing in line behind me snapped, "Are you going to order or are you just looking?" "Oh, I'm ordering." Flustered, I stepped up to the window, glancing once at Cade to see if he'd seen me. He raised one eyebrow at me, then took a drink of his soda. I hurriedly placed my order and waited on the opposite side, far away from Cade. My thoughts were swirling. That Mike guy thought I was weird but cute? I wouldn't have expected that. I didn't think boys thought of me at all. But I wasn't really surprised by Cade's response. I could see why Cade hated me. I really could. In his mind, I had broken up him and Isabel. And I might have been able to deal with his hatred if that was the only reason for it. But his attitude toward me wasn't new. It wasn't post-Isabel. It had started when he and Isabel started. His jerkiness all along was what made me want him out of Isabel's life. His attitude was the precursor to mine. He'd created my loathing with his, and I couldn't for the life of me understand why. Chapter 13. Chemistry used to be the class I had to get through. Now it was the class I couldn't wait to get to. Monday morning seemed to drag on forever. Math was nothing short of torture. Composition, my favorite class ever, was slow. And in English, Ms. Logan decided we should read Romeo and Juliet out loud, the entire period, with English accents. A few drama students were the only ones who made it halfway entertaining. Everyone else butchered it. Two more classes until I would get to read today's new note. Fourth period, I was an office aide, the much coveted position that usually only seniors got. It was basically busy work and no homework, not the noblest elective, but a free period was a free period. And helping out Mrs. Clark wasn't so bad. I was making my way through the crowded halls to the office when I saw Lucas ahead of me. He was several inches taller than everyone around him. He turned at the end of the hall. I turned too. It was time to say something. Anything to him. The second I made that decision, my heart kicked up a notch. It's okay, I said to myself. Just say hi. Make sure he knows you exist. That wouldn't be hard. Hi was a harmless word. Lucas pushed open a door on his right, and I nearly followed him right through it until it swung shut and I saw the blue symbol of a man on the outside of it. I had almost walked right into the boys' bathroom. Apparently, I was a stalker now. I doubled back around and bumped into Isabel, which was a relief. I needed an intervention, or at the very least, a lecture about why silently following boys was creepy. Only Isabel wasn't alone. A boy was beside her. David. Isabel smiled eagerly at me. I sighed. Were we really going to do a take two? Isabel didn't know how to give up. Lily! Isabel said, in a fake, innocent tone. Look who I ran into. Hi, I said.
Hey, David replied, hands in his pockets. How are you?
Pretty good. Did you get all the pee out of your sock?
I threw it away.
Oh, that was another solution. A bit of an overreaction, in my opinion, but maybe it smelled worse than I imagined it might. I looked at Isabel. She had a smile on her face, like she was witnessing the cutest thing she'd ever seen. Isabel made a horrible matchmaker. I hoped she didn't have her heart set on this as a career.
I didn't mean to kick it, by the way, David added, looking at the ground. The rabbit, it just surprised me.
I smiled. My brother will be relieved to know this, although you should probably avoid him for a while. My brother, that is. Oh, and the rabbit, I guess. Not that David would ever want to go to my madhouse again. She's just kidding, Isabel clarified. Yes, I am. I had probably sounded rude. I was glad Isabel got my sense of humor so she could translate for me.
So, anyway, about that chemistry assignment? David said, turning to Isabel,
and I realized this was how their conversation had probably started, how she had gotten him to follow her over here. I can help you with it. Lily and I meet in the library on Wednesdays after school to work on chemistry, Isabel said. We most certainly did not. Why don't you join us this week? Isabel went on.
Okay, sure.
David smiled a little at me, and I softened. Maybe he was just shy and uncomfortable. I could understand that, and have some sympathy for the poor guy. We could be friends. Maybe a few conversations would bring out his real personality.
Mr. Ortega is going to be the death of me.
Me too, I said. Do you guys have chemistry together? I glanced from David to Isabel.
No, Isabel said. I have it fourth period and David has it second.
And I have it sixth, I said, almost to myself. We were each in one of the three junior chemistry classes, the only three that existed. So my mystery pen pal was in one of their periods. One of them knew exactly who sat in my seat. All I had to do was open my mouth and ask. And forever ruin chemistry. This was the one thing I'd been looking forward to for the past week and a half. I was not going to ruin that with my curiosity. I'd already told Isabel I didn't want to know who my pen pal was, and I really didn't. The late bell rang then. David, Isabel, and I all went our separate ways. I smiled as I hurried toward the main office. I was one step closer to chemistry class. I didn't have to look under the desk to find the note anymore. My hand went straight to it. I'd even become an expert at unfolding it quietly and placing it just so under my single sheet of notepaper. I didn't even think Lauren realized what I was doing. I held my breath and read. Track 4 is my favorite, too. And also, track 8 on blue is amazing. You were right. Not depressing at all. I'm not just saying that because the cool guitarist in my new band said she likes it the best. By the way, I don't play guitar, so there will be no stealing your solo time here. That means it's official, right? We need a band name now. Something overly sweet like Rainbows and Roses. Then all our songs should be angry. It will make for a good contrast. I have a lot of angry material right now. Awful stepdad, distant mother, and absent father. That's some solid fodder, right? Here, I'll come up with a good first line right now. Parents, a pause in lyrics for a dramatic guitar solo for you, are, pause for drum solo, lame. Maybe I shouldn't be the lyricist either. My musical skills don't translate to a band. Where does that leave me? I can stand in the background and dance. Oh, also, if Mr. Ortega catches me writing you this letter, I am committed to shoving it in my mouth and swallowing. I hope I can count on the same commitment from you. I smiled. After the build-up of the whole weekend and all morning anticipating this letter, I was worried it would disappoint. It did not. It was cute and funny and a little sad. I wish there was something I could do about the sad part to make him feel better. I took out a fresh sheet of paper because now that we were saying more personal things, I didn't want someone to find a long exchange under the desk. If discovered, it was better to have less. We are already to the swallowing paper for each other commitment level? You may be moving a little fast for me. And yes, your lyrics could use some work. What are these other musical skills you mentioned? Maybe we can integrate them somehow. That is some serious material for lyrics. It will make a great song. Capitalizing on your sad life is cool, right? But seriously, I'm sorry. I don't know if I can help much, but feel free to vent. I'm a good listener, especially in letters because I have no other choice. You want to hear about a sad life? My best friend brought a guy to my house, kind of like a setup, and he basically ran away screaming. That's how crazy my family is. Has your family ever accomplished such a feat? I doubt it. I wasn't sure that making light of his situation was the way to go, but he seemed like the type who appreciated humor, and it felt good to get my frustration about the weekend off my chest. I couldn't vent about it to Isabel because I knew she'd just tell me that it was fine and that nobody thought my family was crazy, even though I was sure they all did. I folded the letter and carefully placed it back in its spot. Now I had to wait 24 hours for a response. This was so much less gratifying than texting. No, that wasn't true. There was something about the secrecy and the anticipation and the possibility of getting caught that made it much more exciting than texting. The next day, I was just as excited when I pulled his response from beneath the desk. No, I can't say that my family has ever sent anyone away screaming. That would require them actually being involved in my life in some way. My parents divorced 7 years ago, and my dad moved. He moved to get away from her and me. If my mom hadn't mentioned where he moved a couple times, I wouldn't even know. Also, he might be dating someone 4 years older than me. I only know this because my mom screamed it into the phone about a year ago. I think she got remarried to make my dad mad, because there is no way she likes the jerk of a guy she married. He is impossible to impress. Everything has to be better and more and perfect for him. How's that for venting? Remember, you asked for it. I don't know if I buy your good listening because it's a letter thing, though. Technically, you could just skip to the end of a letter and pretend you read it. Is that what you did? Here, I'll give you some keywords so that you can fake a response. 5-state buffer zone, man cougar, loveless marriage. Those sound like song lyrics. Look at that. I'm getting so much better. I'm back on for lyricist. I was going to call him just a plain cougar, but they only use that term for women, right? That's sexist. What do you call men in their 50s who date women who are practically teenagers? I hid my smile so Lauren wouldn't notice. My pen pal had this way of making even the saddest things funny somehow. I looked up at Mr. Ortega. I had to pay attention for 5 minutes before I could write back. It was my method of secrecy. Listen, write, listen, write. I think they're called perverts, and I'm sorry. I wish I were more than a good listener who reads entire letters and not just the highlights. I wish I had awesome advice to give you about how trials make you stronger or build character or something like that, but I know that doesn't help. So if you want advice, you'll have to find some other desk defacer. Me, I'll just wallow with you. I'm impressed you've kept a sense of humor through all this. You haven't let it make you a bitter, angry person, or have you? Do you walk around punching lockers and kicking small animals? Or writing angry songs? For real? That's how this whole topic started, right? We're going to use the injustices against you to make some awesome songs. Okay, so the first one can be called Left Behind. I'll try to figure out how we can use the words man cougar in it. I hoped he was okay with me trying to make his sad topics funny, too, because before I'd added the last sentence, I'd stared at that song title for a few minutes. Left Behind. The title that represented his father leaving him without looking back, and a pit formed in my stomach that I'd had to combat. I folded the letter and secured it beneath the desk. Chapter 14. I hadn't been serious about writing a song inspired by my pen pal's life. It was supposed to be like the jokes I'd always made with Isabel about writing a book based on her dating situations, but that wasn't what happened. What happened was that the title Left Behind, along with his words, brought so many images into my mind that I found myself that night, notebook on knees, writing. First, I'd filled in the margins with notes about what he'd said about his life. Then I'd let those words inspire lyrics. I've turned waiting into a form of art, tied twisted lines around my broken heart, because I always thought you'd be back one day. The door swung open, and Ashley walked in and dropped onto her bed with a loud sigh. "What's wrong?" I asked. "I just completely and totally humiliated myself in front of the guy I have a crush on at work." "How?" She showed me her teeth. "See that?" "No." "Exactly. Earlier, there was a big, huge food chunk right there." She pointed at her front tooth. "And nobody told me. Nobody. Oh, wait. Mark told me after I'd been talking to him for 5 minutes." I laughed. "You would have told me, right? Trisha should have told me. It's girl code. I think Trisha likes Mark, too. That's the problem here."
"Maybe she didn't see the food."
"Lil, people on the space station saw this chunk of food. It was massive, and right on my front tooth."
"That was rude of the people on the space station not to tell you about it."
"Ha ha."
"You probably thought it was funny," I said.
Ashley groaned. "That's exactly what he thought. That's why this is a nightmare. If you want a romantic relationship with a guy, first he has to find you mysterious, then intriguing, then funny, in that order. If it's in any different order, you are forever labeled friend."
I frowned. "That's an interesting theory."
"Tried and proven, and the funny has to be intentional. None of this making a fool of yourself business."
"Huh. Maybe that's why I'd never had a romantic relationship. I was always making a fool of myself." Ashley rolled off her bed, crawled forward, and sat on the floor with her back facing me.
"Braid my hair,"
I want it to be wavy tomorrow. Plus, it will make me feel better.
You're so needy.
Sometimes, it felt like Ashley was the younger sister.
Please, I'll straighten yours for you.
Get me a brush.
She hopped up and walked out of the room. I looked at my notebook.
We'll never have enough alone time together, will we?
I asked it with a sigh. It's as if people are trying to keep us apart.
My sister came back in, swinging a hairbrush like a pendulum between her thumb and forefinger, a straightener tucked under her other arm.
Who are you talking to?
Myself.
You do that a lot.
I know. I'm the only one who understands me. Ashley threw the brush at me, narrowly missing my leg, then plugged in the straightener and positioned herself on the floor by my bed. I begrudgingly closed my notebook. My sister had long, beautiful hair. It was the same color as mine, but unlike my crazy waves, hers was perfectly straight.
People spend a lot of time to make their hair look exactly like yours, I said, as I ran a brush through it.
And people spend just as much time to make their hair look like yours.
I guess everyone wants what they don't have.
As if I'd been making a statement about her love life, Ashley said, "Boys suck."
Amen, I said.
Ashley tipped her head back.
What? You're agreeing with me?
Spill.
You want to feel better about your supposedly embarrassing situation that in reality happens to everyone? I asked.
Not everyone.
Everyone at some point or another has had food in their teeth. But I bet your pet rabbit has never peed on your date's foot.
Ashley laughed.
Yeah. Exactly, I said. Ashley didn't stop laughing. She put her forehead to her knees, causing me to let go of the braid.
Keep on laughing, I said.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. She sat back and I separated her hair again and began to braid when she broke out into laughter again.
I'm not braiding your hair anymore, I announced, sitting back.
No, 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 she said. I'm sorry.
I gathered her hair. 2 minutes passed, then she said, Do you call him Peafoot now? And burst into laughter. I let go of her hair and shoved her.
You're a brat.
She stood up and let out a happy sigh.
Your stories are the best, Lil. Your social life is so funny. Thanks for making me feel better.
With that, she left the room.
Yes, that's me. The girl whose social life makes everyone feel better about theirs, I said to nobody.
I yanked the straightener's cord out of the wall, turning it off, and then picked up my notebook. I flipped to the back and titled the last page, Suspects.
I didn't have that side of a social life. I had a fun and perfectly normal relationship with an anonymous pen pal.
Okay, so an anonymous pen pal didn't exactly sound normal, but I would ignore that fact. Maybe it was time to figure out who he was.
Chapter 15.
Mrs. Clark, did you have rules when you were dating? I was beginning to wonder if I was the only girl in the world who didn't have dating rules, and if this was part of my problem. I was sitting at a desk in the main office fulfilling my aide duties, which today consisted of transferring the handwritten sign-out sheet from the day before into the computer. Mrs. Clark looked up from her computer. She was about my mom's age, and pretty, with long blonde hair and glasses. I could almost picture her as a teenager. Almost.
Rules? Mrs. Clark asked, furrowing her brow. You know, like, be mysterious but not too mysterious, don't laugh at your date, things like that.
She smiled. Do you make it a habit of laughing at your dates?
Only when they do something funny.
Mrs. Clark thought for a second. When I was dating, my girlfriend and I used to say, don't cry in front of him before date three.
Cry? I echoed, frowning.
Yeah, guys get skittish when you cry.
I don't think I have to worry about that one.
You don't cry?
I don't make it to date three.
She smiled again, like I hadn't been making a joke. I had been, sort of.
Rules are silly, she said. Just be real.
Easier said than done.
I entered the last sign out into the computer, then filed away the hard copy.
Done.
Oh, good. She pointed across the room. Can you grab the keys and drop this packet off in Mrs. Lundgren's room?
Sure. I got to my feet. Why do I need keys for that?
Mrs. L locks up during fourth, prep period.
Where are the keys?
Have I never had you drop things off in locked rooms before?
No.
She gave me a